Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, May 3rd, Hump Day 2023. Welcome in, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Crossover Wednesday. That means one thing. Our friend, our colleague from Up North News, that is Mr. Pat Kreitlow, is joining us for Wednesday morning.
Oh, no. They're bringing in the grouchy old guy from Chippewa Falls.
Not at all. We were talking just before we came on the air. I'm a printer offer. In other words, I like to print off the things I read on the air in paper, just on my eyes. I don't know. And Kreitlow says, all right, thanks a lot, Grandpa.
Thanks, Grandpa. Good to know. Somebody's still... You know, cutting down trees because you got to read something.
I know. I'm all for environmental consciousness, but I mean, when it comes, I feel I owe it to the listener to give them the best product possible. I read.
So that means reading off a piece of paper.
I did. I do. You know, one of the cool things I got to do is when I was a senior in high school, I went to New York with a friend. I was working for WRCO, a CBS affiliate, and we got to go to 30 Rock, not to 30 Rock, that's NBC, to Black Rock, to CBS.
Black Rock, right.
And I got to watch, like, Frank Setapani and these guys read the national copy of the CBS radio network. And I noticed when they read, they were very animated. They were, you know, they just didn't sit there docile. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's a really good thing to learn, that you have to actually be animated to put that over the air. And I think maybe that's where I got it from. I want to have something in my hand. I don't know.
Well, so you got something, you're waving it all around while you're talking. I don't know how you're able to read off it when you're doing something like that.
I know. One of the mysteries of life. Great show this morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I listened in. Lots of important topics, and one of those is up in Wausau, where if you want to tell the folks what's going on up there, because we have not covered that, we'll get to a little bit what we covered down here, but can you fill folks in what's happening in Wausau?
The short version is I had seen a story that a teacher in Wausau East was accused of harassing a student using racist language, and that the teacher, the district had said, well, the teacher's going to be reinstated after a little time off, and that some people were not happy about it. Of course, I go with my first instinct, which is to not. We don't even talk about it on the radio. I got to learn more about it first, and then the next day, Chad Holmes comes on at the end of my show from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And I said, what can you tell us about this? And he gives a little bit of a background on it, but again, not everything. So we don't totally, we don't jump to conclusions. And then shortly after that, the Wausau Daily Herald put out a very long article with all of the various reported incidents of this teacher using racist and homophobic language against this student. And nowhere in the article is there a denial. Nowhere in there is there an alternative version like, the student misheard what I said or anything. Instead, it was the administration's looked at this, and we have determined that, the teacher likes to use humor to create a fun environment, and that while his language might have given the student unease, it didn't rise to the level of requiring further discipline. And it was amazingly tone deaf. And so Chad was reading this story in detail on his show yesterday afternoon, and I was listening about an hour or two later as a podcast, the podcast version of the show, and listening to him get choked up telling this story. He's getting choked up. I'm getting angry. And so we reviewed it again this morning, and I'm sure there will be more said about it. But again, it's because of, good newspaper reporters and good local talk show hosts that a teacher, and I'm out there defending public school teachers all the time, mm-hmm. but that means you're not going to defend when one is so wildly racist, homophobic, and bullying that we now can do that. We can say that. We can do the stories about it rather than let this teacher get away with it. And I want to tip my cap to Chad for helping shed light on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job by Chad Holmes with the Chad Holmes Show across the Civic Media Network via the app from 2 until 4 and locally on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And appreciate, Pat, you picking up on it as well. We'll talk more on our show in hour number 2. A similar thing happened here at UW-Madison. Well, it's kind of similar. A student who happens to be a white woman went off on social media. Apparently, the reporting I did last night with some contacts at UW, apparently she had broken up with her boyfriend, who happened to be black, and to a white another white girl, white woman. And so she goes off on social media using the N-word and some other terrible things. We're in 2023, Pat, and this stuff is still going on. Agree or disagree, I still maintain a lot of this being brought out into the light of day or people feeling licensed to say this stuff publicly goes back to the Trump era. When you have a president who started this and just perpetuated what was already there, I think he did a huge disservice to this country.
Oh, yeah, in that you normalize these things. And, right. And that's why you have this, you know, quote-unquote anti-woke thing, you know, that we're against political correctness. In other words, we're against, you know, not being
decency.
A racist jerk,
right,
you know.
Right.
But that there's still a market for people to peddle in that, to say that, you know, you're not really racist. And in fact, as Assembly Speaker Robin Voss just said in a new article in the Journal Sentinel, if UW schools don't get rid of their diversity, equity, and inclusion offices, he might slash the UW budget.
Surprise, there on Voss.
It turns everything on its head for what we should be standing for as Americans who are endeavoring to get better, that Voss continues to peddle the lie that if you call out racism, that makes you racist. You're the one stoking racial division, and nobody should stand for that. So, again, those are the kinds of things we're going to call out here on the radio.
We appreciate you, Pat. Appreciate Up North News every morning from 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Appreciate you, Pat. Coming up on this show today, Trevi Olson of the Lincoln Project, and then later on in hour number 2 at 10:15, Wisconsin's Democratic Senate Leader Melissa Agard on cannabis legalization. Pat, have a great day. Stay warm on Lake Wissota.
You betcha.
All right. Thanks a lot, Pat. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show. It is now 8:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. It is Crossover Wednesday. Sometimes you get a couple of radio guys together. You can't get everything in the amount of time given. And God loves Civic Media. They give us a lot of leeway here. And so, you know, we need just a little bit more Pat Kreitlow. And he's been kind enough to stick around in a little bit into this segment. Also joined as per usual on a Wednesday morning, Trevi Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a fellow Wisconsinite, grew up in River Falls, and like me, was part of the Republican Party for years until we said, wait a minute, this ain't what we signed up for, and democracy is kind of a good thing. So he and I have both left the Republican Party. He is now with the Lincoln Project and working and doing good things all around the world. And as a matter of fact, Trigvy is making Pat and I very jealous today as he joins us. And thank you, Trigvy, live from Belize.
Yes, well, I don't have the curse of Kara Foster when I'm down.
You know what? Kara Foster's computer went down yesterday, and so she was on, and I just did the weather forecast. I said, here's my interview for weatherology. And she goes, that was pretty good.
But right. here's the thing. On the video feed of this, Trigvy is only a silhouette.
Right.
He is a silhouette. He has pointed it so that behind him is I assume that's the Caribbean sky. With the sunrise coming
true.
Up, palm trees.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
No, I don't know.
I have a very limited cord link here.
Oh, that's okay. Fine. Don't fix it. Nobody wants to see you. I wanted to see the sun. I thought that was on purpose that you were trying to kill
there
us.
There
we
go.
Oh, look at that.
View.
There he is.
Okay, that'll work.
It's an electrical issue. There are no outlets apparently outside. And so my choice for a dingy hotel room or.
I'm familiar, but it does look beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Gentlemen, one of the stories that we talked about before I came on here, we talked about this on the show yesterday, an article in business, ibmadison.com, headline, Assembly passes a bill to combat interview ghosting. And this is a Yahoo state rep, John Plummer, from kind of the middle part of the state, just above Columbus there by Fond du Lac area, Republican. He has put forward a bill. First of all, he attacks Governor Evers. Surprise, surprise. And he has come up with a a terrible problem in Wisconsin, or so he thinks. The practice of ghosting at interviews, and for those who are not don't have hip daughters and are hip dads like Trigvy, who takes his daughter to Katy Perry. By the way, I think we have more Katy Perry news later in the show. Ghosting is when you on social media or Snap or text, you just don't reply. You don't say goodbye. You just ghost them. You don't reply or anything. And so ghosting interviews apparently is when you set up an interview and then you don't show up. And this guy, John Plummer, State Representative John Plummer. They passed a bill in the assembly saying that if you don't show up for an interview, that you could be investigated by the State Department of Workforce Development. And if found credible, the individuals implicated would be ineligible for unemployment benefits for the given week, at least for that week, and then subsequently on more verified claims. I mean, I was an employee. I had two businesses. I was a manager. I did all kinds of interviews for L.L. Bean, Land's End, in Reedsburg. The amount of times people just didn't show up for an interview were pretty small. And as Mr. Zommer said yesterday, guess what? You ain't getting hired. I don't see this as a burning problem, Pat Kreitlow.
No, it's not. And look, people haven't shown up for things for the long. My wife's a physician, and she'll say, well, I had, you know, two or three no-shows today. And I'm always flabbergasted. I'm like, who sets a doctor appointment and doesn't show up for it? But things do come up. People get busy, whatever the case may be. The fact that you would want to legislate against this, it was part of a package of bills, seven or eight bills that passed last week, all about punching down. And they said it was to address the labor shortage, that if you don't, you know, basically take the first interview that comes up or the first job that comes up, you know, we're going to make it impossible or cut your access to Medicaid and or unemployment benefits. And again, there's just no, as Trigvy, you know, noted, the cruelty is the point on these things, that rather than really coming up with a solution for the labor shortage, you just look for somebody to punch down on.
Trigvy?
Yeah, I still agree. I'm going to revise the cruelty thing. I agree. It is cruelty. It's also grandstanding. I actually think it might be just more grandstanding by some of these politicians who put out cruelty. Like, cruelty sells, right? So, but cruelty ends up being the point because it gets attention. But here's the thing. This is the question I have. Does the guy or is somebody going to amend this legislation that if the human resources director doesn't show up, the company has to, or cancels, the company has to pay the guy's welfare benefits for a week.
Right.
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, that would be fair, right?
Right, like, sure. Could I offer another amendment to the bill? And I don't know that it would pass, but could I amend that bill further when it comes to ghosting, not just the interview, but ghosting your job? That if you don't show up for work for 9 or 10 months, but continue to get, you would lose some of the pay of a full-time state legislator who only works for a couple of months, but then collects pay for the whole year. Can you ghost your job? Can we put that amendment on there? I think people would like that.
I think they would too. Trigvy, you know, you and I were part of a party for years that, you know, part of the platform, part of the narrative, as you like to say, was this whole idea that get government out of our lives. We don't want government intrusion. We don't want big government. We want things simple and small. And I mean, what's more intrusionary? And think about the red tape. Think about the taxpayer money to hire, you know, basically detectives for Department of Workforce Development to find out whether you showed up for an interview or not. Is that not just the absolute epitome of what republicanism used to not be about?
Yeah, I mean, that part of it's ridiculous. I also think...
Oh, Trigger. Apparently... Go ahead.
You lose me?
You said, here's what I think, and then it perfectly cut out. We thought you were just pausing for effect.
Oh, no. If it isn't good to be encouraging other people to, like, be reporting on each other, right? Like, the way it's going to work is most people are either going to be out investigating it, which is more big government, or you're going to be encouraging the human resources person to call some hotline and report other Americans. There is an element of authoritarianism in all of that.
Yes.
You know, it's big government watching you, it's everybody watching and policing each other. And you're seeing Republicans do this all over the country. I mean, look at what's going on down in Texas with you know, abortion rights and women who have abortions. They want to encourage everybody to be reporting on each other.
Yeah, there's bounties that are being offered now for some of these things. And it's, again, authoritarianism is not too strong a word for it.
No. And Pat, you have Dr. Lyerly on your show frequently as a guest and a co-host. She's talked a lot about this. And for people who haven't heard your show from 6 to 8, give us a little taste of what she goes through as a provider for healthcare for women in some of these things, feeling threatened by what Trigvi said.
Oh, exactly. I mean, look, we're not at that point in Wisconsin, but of course in Wisconsin right now you just have a full-out ban, which will finally be argued in Dane County Circuit Court starting tomorrow. But, you know, again, the whole notion of you want to take care of somebody, but you never know if not necessarily a nurse, but, you know, an MA or somebody else at the hospital calls this hotline and they don't actually know what the doctor and patient have been talking about, but they say, hey, I think there might be something criminal going on in exam room 3. I mean, do we want the vagina police showing up to say, wait, what's going on down there?
Right.
You know, it's not anything like in line with any American value that the people in both parties used to espouse.
And Trigvi, you're in Belize right now. You hit it on the head with authoritarianism, because what we're seeing right now, a country that I've been to, you know, several times over 24 years, next door, not quite next door, but close to Belize, El Salvador, where you have a new president, mm-hmm. Nayib Bukele, and, you know, this big crackdown on the gangs in El Salvador, which needed to be done. But to your point, what Bukele has done in El Salvador is all you have to do is call a number and report someone as a gang member. There is no questions. There is no investigation. They go into the house, they arrest the person, and you're put in prison. No trial, no nothing. And that is, you know, and that's being hailed by some as tough on crime, but there's a complete lack of human rights.
Well, I mean, it's reminiscent of some of the worst of humanity. In East Germany, the, you know, KGB in Russia. And here's the thing. I mean, I have a colleague, Stuart Stevens, who I know was on the show. You know, he wrote this book. It was all a lie. Mm-hmm. And I really do think, like, the limited government stuff as for Republicans has come a lie. They actually are fine with big government. It's just big government that they control to serve their means and ends. And those means and ends, in some cases, are really cruel for other people in ways that, quite frankly, the left may have been, in my mind, not as economically responsible, but it was never cruel. It was never mean.
Mm-hmm.
And this is cruel and mean and pitting people against each other.
It's a great book. If you haven't read it, it's called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump by Stuart Stevens. Boy, it was cathartic for me, and I'm actually reading it again just to go back through it. So it's a great book. Pat, you had another state story that we said, oh, we should have talked about that. What was that one?
Well, I'm heading to Oshkosh. I have a speaking engagement tomorrow, but I happen to notice that today in Oshkosh at the university, the Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee is continuing their road tour on the topic of free speech on campus, and that, you know, is free speech being limited, especially conservative free speech? Is it being limited on campus? And I can't help but notice the delicious lack of self-awareness that they're holding these hearings on college campuses. And on the agenda, it says, invited speakers only.
Well, so this is a new line, though, Pat. So I have a friend who's a school board chair up in, I mean, not far from you at all, within 60-mile radius. And in the listening area, so I'm going to be careful about this. But this person called, they have a book banning thing going on. It's those mothers who are trying to book banning. They have their own group. And so, you know, they had school board elections, and they tried to run a group of candidates. And my buddy and his slate, they won 70% of the vote, right? So now what's happening is they're not having, you know, they held a vote on the book banning, and they voted it down. So now they're all protesting that they're limiting debate. And he called me up and he's like, I just don't know what to do. I can't make these people happy. I'm like, exactly. That's the point.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So that becomes their next thing, right? Like, well, you're stifling debate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stifling debate is what the Joint Finance Committee did yesterday, you know, taking out 500 plus things without any discussion. There's the stifling debate you should worry about.
Right.
All right. You kids have fun.
All right, Pat.
Have a great show.
Appreciate you. Have a great day up in Lake Wissota. Right. Stay with us, everyone. Trigvy will be back having a breakfast mimosa or something like that from the beautiful shores of the Caribbean. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Trigvy. Back with more after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:33 on a Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. Wednesday meeting our weekly visit with the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a Wisconsin native, Republican operative for a long time and left the party under the Trumpster and now working for Project Lincoln, Lincoln Project, and also helping spreading democracy across the world. We find him in beautiful Belize this morning. And Trigvy, glad you have joined us. We're going to be joining Kara Foster here for a little weatherology, a meteorologist update, and more news and Trigvy in a moment. Kara, how are you doing this morning up there in Minnesota? Are the computers working this morning?
They are. They're much better this morning. I had no idea what happened yesterday.
No, that's fine.
Everything's going to freeze.
We had a good talk on breakfast cereal. We'll ask Trigvy in a moment what his favorite breakfast cereal is.
Yes, but it was very important.
Yeah, very, very important stuff. We got Trigvy on the phone. He is down in beautiful Belize. I'm not sure if you have the forecast for Belize this morning, but usually it's sunny at about 82 every day. So not a hard forecast for Belize.
Sounds about right.
closer to home.
No curse of Kara Foster here in Belize. 85 and sunny every day.
I love it.
Yeah, they don't need meteorologists down there.
Except for hurricane season.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're part-time.
Kara, what do we got here in Wisconsin and Amory, Wausau, and Richland Center, if you please?
Well, it's a gorgeous day out there. I mean, I would say near perfect for sure. Our average high is about 63 in Amory and Wausau, and about 65 in Richland Center, and all areas are nearing or if at that that average high for right now. Sunny with a high of 62 today in Amory, sunny 57, so slightly cooler in Wausau, but I mean, honestly, with that extra push of the sunshine, honestly, 60 is within grasp. And then as we head into Richland Center, sunny with a high of 61. Tonight, partly cloudy, 43 over in Amory, cloudy 38 in Wausau, and partly cloudy 37 in Richland Center. Tomorrow, we will see some showers start to move in, but not until later in the day. So you still have tomorrow during the daytime to see some sunshine. Still going to be really nice with those temperatures. Sunny 69 in Amory. We'll start to see those showers late afternoon over in Wausau, sunny in 65, and then partly sunny and 73, very warm in Richland Center. The showers will increase as we head into Thursday night. We'll dip down to the 40s, but it's not really increasing. It's going to be just like more scattered, I would say, so it's not going to be too bad. And then Friday is kind of a slightly bigger chance, only about a 30 to 50% chance throughout the state. Some areas will see pockets of sunshine. Highs will be back in the 60s, so slightly cooler, but still on brand for this time of year. The weekend, same thing. Very scattered mixture of rain and sunshine throughout the weekend. Highs in the upper 60s, even lower 70s throughout much of the state. And that will basically continue into early next week as well. So fortunately, with this next system coming through, it's going to be very scattered. As I said, you won't have to cancel any plans due to the rain. You just might need to bring an extra rain jacket or maybe an umbrella for that passing rain shower. And then the rest of the weekend's looking gorgeous. And also no winds and snow. So that's great. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, thank you very much. That forecast will make the mushrooms pop around Southwest Wisconsin. It's almost time. Getting into May, mushroom season. A good morel mushroom.
Nice.
All right, Kara, thank you very much. Have a great
good
day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Kara Foster, you as well. Catch you then.
Yep, thank you. Kara Foster from Meteorology, or Weatherology, our meteorologist. Glad to have her along with us. Also, as per usual, our friend Trigvy Olson joining us today from Belize. We appreciate him getting online and being with us from sunny Belize, talking politics. And Trigvy, breaking news this morning, according to CBS, and we're getting into the time of year, and you'll explain to people why we're going to start hearing more about Ukraine. But from CBS this morning, Russia claims Ukraine tried to attack attacked the Kremlin with drones in what they're calling a terrorist act targeting Vladimir Putin. Dateline Moscow, Russian authorities accused Ukraine on Wednesday of attempting to attack the Kremlin with two drones overnight. The Kremlin decried the alleged attack attempt as, quote, a terrorist act, and said Russian military and security forces disabled the drones before they could strike. In a statement carried by Russian state-run news agencies, it said there were no casualties. The Kremlin added that President Vladimir Putin was safe and continued to work his schedule unchanged. Reuters news agency quoted an official from Ukraine's presidential office as denying any link with a drone attack on the Kremlin. You have had all kinds of experience in Belarus, and as we have said before, you have the distinction of being been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. What say you, not on just this subject, but Ukraine in general? I think is your mic muted, or is it on our end? Let's try it again.
There we go. It was me.
All right.
Somehow Zoom knew that I was muted, so it told me that I was muted. First of all, I'd say good for whoever was using the drone to try and take out Putin. I'm highly skeptical, though. I mean, it's just a classic autocrat move to claim that somebody was killing you because it gives you rationalization for your own action. I think, you know, I don't know if you saw that there was, in the last couple of days, Mike McCall, who's a Republican congressman. I think he's on Armed Services, chair of Armed Services, or Intel, one, or Foreign Relations, one of them. He was over there and ended up encountering a woman whose five-year-old daughter was raped to death, gang raped to death by Wagner mercenaries, part of that group. And he was talking about how moving it was. And this was a Republican who was a little skeptical of all of the aid that we were giving to Ukraine. And he basically was like, we need to give them everything they need to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
You know, the Russians are betting on, you know, the West, and particularly Americans, losing interest and not willing to be serious in our own politics by having people pushing their narratives of these imagined grievances. But what's about to happen, because the weather is about to get better and the ground is gonna thaw. And right now it has thawed. It's just really wet, kind of a wet. It's a little bit like southwestern Wisconsin, right? Like there's a lot of boggy, marshy area. That is now going to dry out, and you are going to see the Ukrainians start to take it to the Russians and start a counteroffensive. You know, the big question, and then they will likely have a lot of success. I mean, there is nothing to suggest, at least that I've read or seen, that they won't. You know, and then it will come down to what does the international community think about them taking Crimea? But, you know, this has been a disaster for Russia. And that's sad. And it's a little bit like the Trump era for Republicans. It's been a disaster for Republicans. Question with the Russians and with Republicans, are they going to look themselves in the mirror and say, what's the cause of this? And in both cases, you know, the problems the Republican Party is having, the problems the Russians are having, it all goes back to one person in each place.
Well said. We carried a story yesterday, according to the White House, President Biden's administration, the estimates are that 100,000 Russians 100,000 Russian casualties, 20,000 of those are deaths just since December in this war on Ukraine. A tragedy for the Russian people, certainly. But explain, if you could, Trigvi, based on your expert experience in Europe, what does this mean for the world and democracy, and what does it mean for the United States, and why is it so important that we make sure that Ukraine prevail in this attack on them?
Well, living in a world where one country can just upend and attack another, particularly in this case, because I would argue that the Russians are really attacking Ukraine because Ukraine was starting to become a free and democratic country. And that a bigger country can bully its neighbors any way it wants because it's bigger. and particularly an autocratic one of a democratic one, that is a real uncomfortable world. That's the world of great power politics that led to a lot of dead human beings throughout the, you know, 18th and early 19th century. Second of all, for Republicans who are concerned about China, you really don't want the precedent of allowing Ukraine to lose if you really care about Taiwan or Chinese rise of power, because they're watching in Beijing. And I would say it's equally toxic, and in some ways the same guy, Putin, albeit different, because we have far more economic integration and dependency on each other, but he has some of the same challenges that Putin has. And so, like, this is massively important in terms of that stability that we've experienced, which kind of, in some ways, post-Cold War, allowed America to take a vacation from having to be serious on a lot of issues and let our politics descend into one that's really personality contest rather than about good of institutions.
As the spring moves on, always appreciate your insight. And again, having worked in Belarus and Eastern Europe and knowing that region very well, always appreciate your insight there. Also appreciate your insight. Let's come back home just a little bit closer. It is the season of polls. Everybody wants to do a poll on the 2024 election as we're seeing more, I'm going to call them political sacrificial lambs, jumping in on the Republican side to take on the Trumpster. What is your insight, Trigvi, for our listeners this morning? And we got a couple of minutes here before the break. We can pick it up on the other side as well. But on these polls and also the expanding field of the GOP for 2024.
So a couple of things. Like there's tons of, we'll try and make this a teaching moment, and I will share a dirty secret of the consulting industry so that
we love dirty secrets.
Are more informed. That dirty secret is an awful lot of polls are garbage polls to try and shape actions of voters or public perception. And we're seeing an awful lot of that right now, particularly if it is around Trump and his viability in the Republican primary. He is ahead. He will be, barring, I think, unforeseen circumstances, the nominee. That's what the private polling shows. And occasionally you'll see media talk about private polling. You know, campaigns and political organizations have access to massive and highly detailed polling that just isn't available to the public. There's nothing in that data, at least the data that I have to have access to, that suggests anything other. Second, there's a lot of people who will put out polls and try and spin them for their own means. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't credible public polls. If you're in the state of Wisconsin, and I know you have them on the show, we were on the show together, Charles Franklin at the Marquette University poll. That's a legitimate poll, and I would highly recommend that if you want to know what's going on in Wisconsin, you go to their website and you check out their poll. Mm-hmm. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll is a credible national poll. And it's NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, for God's sake. You got the left. If you're conspiracy theorist on the right, you got the left and the right doing the polls together, right? Like, those are credible polls. That's what people should be watching. I would suggest ignore all the noise. I know it's human nature to want to have confirmation bias and believe what you hope is going to happen. I certainly like articles that say Jordan Love is the third Hall of Fame quarterback in a row for the Green Bay Packers. And I know those are the right articles, and the ones that say he may flop and be the next Anthony Dilwig are wrong. But, yeah.
I think that's a great insight, but because you're right. I mean, you and I have both, you at a much larger level, but you know, I've run a couple of congressional races, and there's these polling firms of both the left and the right, national polling firms, that are, they don't release their stuff to the public, but they're very, very good. And they work yeah. with campaigns or with parties. And, you know, I was hearing from my sources, I still have a couple of people in the Republican Party that talked to me on the down low. And, I mean, they knew 3 weeks before the election for Janet Protasiewicz that she was behind or that she was ahead by 10 points. They knew that from yeah. private polling going into that. And that's why you saw so much garbage in the TV ads attacking her, is because they just were going to throw the kitchen sink and hope that something stuck.
Well, our buddy Brian Shim Sham has been littering my Facebook feed with his, I guess it is kind of a cute quote. You know, anybody who says Tammy Baldwin is a sure thing. Have they heard of Russ Feingold? What have they heard from Russ Feingold or something? And I'm like,
okay, Shim Sham.
Yeah, but you're going to have either Tom Tiffany or David Clark is your nominee. I get your job. But
back after this, more at Trigvy Olson. This is the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Caribbean island music there by Kenny Chesney. That's an interview I like to get. Kenny Chesney on an island somewhere on a beach. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be amazing.
Probably never happened, but a guy can dream. We're talking with Trigvy Olson of the Lincoln Project. And Trigvy, before we continue talking politics here, as a owner of the Green Bay Packers, you'll be interested in this. Adam Schefter is reporting at this hour via Twitter. Former Packers...
Central Wisconsin Emergency Alert System. In the event of an emergency, the system would bring you important information. The test is now concluded.
Over a decade, he shows up out there.
Right? And all clean shaven, no necklaces, no wacky hair, you know, groomed GQ looks.
He is a giant, like, public relations sort of operative.
Absolutely.
Like, that guy, he should open a public relations firm after. He's so good at spinning narratives in media. Crazy.
Speaking of spinning narratives, we were talking before the break here about these polls that are coming up, and the 2024 campaign season it's already underway, the Republican Party primary. You were talking about our friend Brian, the Shim Sham Man, putting out these memes or whatever on Facebook, already attacking Tammy Baldwin, trying to compare her to Russ Feingold. I just don't think it's going to take Trigvy. I'm interested in your opinion on that. I will confess something on air, because confession is good for the soul, as my former pastor used to say. I voted for Ron Johnson in his first race. And you don't want to know why? Because I knew I interacted with former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, because my former boss, Dale Schultz, and he were colleagues in the state Senate. And I always thought Russ was a great guy. My concern with Russ Feingold was, I thought that he just got, I want to call it, a little too big for his britches. He was being national. He was all over the air with McCain Feingold. And I thought he went a little Hollywood. And I just didn't think he was spending enough time in Wisconsin. And Ron Johnson came along, and I was led astray. I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought, well, there's kind of a guy who sounds like, you know, a Scott Klug-esque type of dude, pro-business, you know, just kind of a guy who likes Wisconsin. And so I made the terrible mistake of voting for Ron Johnson in the first race. I don't think that Tammy Baldwin is a Russ Feingold. To me, she's only gotten more in touch with Wisconsin during her term in office, not less.
I completely agree with that. I think the other thing is, I don't think the candidates that are most likely to make the race, Tom Tiffany Anthony and David Clark. Quite honestly, they make Ron Johnson in 2010 look like a fantastic candidate.
Right?
Right? So, there's just so many dynamics at play with that. Everything about Ron Johnson when he ran that first time appeared to be like, here's this business guy who wants to go out and do the right thing. Mm. It turns out that what he really wanted to do is dismantle government completely. But if you remember, his rollout was all about talk radio. You know, it was Charlie Seitz who kind of gave him the platform in Milwaukee to clear the field. I don't think you're going to see that repeating itself. I get Brian has a job to do, but, and quite honestly, you know, I guess the more money that gets spent, at least to a degree, on Tammy Baldwin, where they're not going to win, the money that isn't going to get spent somewhere else. What is important, though, that people who are interested in sort of behind the scenes, all five of the main states that will decide the presidential election, Arizona, Wisconsin, Nevada, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all have Democrat senators who are up.
Very interesting.
So control of the Senate and control of the White House will all come down through those five states.
Wow. Well, certainly Wisconsin is going to be a fulcrum point again in 2024. Yeah. Speaking of that, a few more people in the race on the GOP side. You had former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson jumping in. Also, North Carolina U.S. Senator Tim Scott also jumping in this past week. These people, I mean, God love them for getting in. You've been part of presidential campaigns. It's not a light decision. It's a big endeavor. But to that point, it's a big endeavor, and it is not for the weak of heart, and it takes something to get the nomination and then ultimately win.
Yeah, well, I mean, the odds of Asa Hutchinson or Tim Scott being the nominee are about as good as mine or yours being the Republican nominee, and neither of us are any longer Republicans. That said, there's lots of reasons now that people run for president, right? And I'm not saying that Tim or Hutchinson don't believe that they're not the best person for the job. But, you know, if you run and lose, there's elevation of your profile. There's the ability to elevate issues. You know, Ron Paul was never going to win, but suddenly auditing the Fed became a thing that became mainstream within the party. So, Rick Santorum ran. He was not going to win, at least not a serious party nomination. He got a Fox News and now a CNN gig, right? So there's lots of reasons that people do that. At the end of the day, and you know this, like, campaigns end when the checkbook runs out, and they will be able to raise some initial money, and then the checkbook will eventually run out in all likelihood.
About a minute left here, a minute and a half left. All these folks jumping in, as you said earlier in the polling, everything suggests, short of a cataclysmic disaster, Trump will be the GOP nominee. Joe Biden in numbers, again, talking about polls again, various polling showing that his numbers have actually gone up since he got in. And how do you think this is all going to shape up with Biden in 24?
I think the interesting thing is, I think Donald Trump, his ceiling is, they just said the NFL draft, you have prospects who are low floor, high ceiling, and then you have one high floor, low ceiling. I think Donald Trump's polling numbers and what he ultimately gets is high floor, low ceiling. He's going to get what he got last time. I think Joe Biden actually has the potential to grow his vote a little bit. He can retain and potentially pull some other, more Republican conservative voters who are disaffected and disillusioned with the party that keeps nominating crazy. I think, he may have some room to grow just because of basic demographics. I also think it's going to be interesting to see because I know for a fact the Biden campaign and Joe Biden, I think himself, based on what I've been told, believes that they can take freedom and democracy and the patriotism and make it their own.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal.
Huge deal. Trigby, thanks for making the effort. I really appreciate it, my friend. Have a good time down there in Belize. I know it's a quick trip for you. We'll see you next week right back here. Have a great week, sir.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Trigby. That is Trigby Olson. Back with more after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic.